Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. And we're excited to welcome back to the show Alana Ubach. Yeah, from Meet the Fockers.
Thank you very much.
Alana, we had on here. What legally blonde were we talking about?
25 years ago.
Yeah,
that's
about
right.
15 months ago, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, you got it. It was back then, and I was playing Reese Witherspoon's sidekick.
Yeah,
that was before number two, I think. Was that?
It was. In fact, Jessica Caulfield and I were on here the first time, and then the second time around, she was sick, and then I showed up. And, you know, acted like an ass for the both of us, and now I'm here.
People are psyched up about seeing Meet the Fockers.
Yeah.
Did you see Meet the Parents?
Yeah, I did. Cool. I thought it was hilarious. And you know what it was? You know, Drew, did you see Meet the Parents?
I did.
Oh, my God. Stop the press.
I did.
You know what's nice about the first movie is it had a nice combination of sort of funny... some slapstick, some physical stuff, but also some written stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, dialogue. The dialogue was solid. It didn't push too hard, but yet it kept building.
Yeah.
It was a good slow build to burn. It had a great sort of tempo and feel to it. It didn't try to win you over in the first 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It just had a nice slow build to it. And even though things were pretty outrageous, they didn't really go over the top where you go, oh, come on, he wouldn't think that.
Super 80s with the whole concept of
right,
it. Pretty cool.
Right. And so by the way, I mean, one of the most obviously anticipated follow-up films in what do they call those, Drew? Sequels. In years.
It's like Godfather Part Two, you know.
That's exciting. Yeah, how'd you get in on this?
Well, this is what's so cool. Basically, I look nothing like myself in the movie. I mean, I'm basically playing this like 50-something-year-old Hispanic woman with a 15-year-old son.
Now, by our notes,
right.
See, and I have a little.
Our
voice
notes. Your publicist sent us some information.
What did she say?
Plays a chunky African American, 50-something-year-old
man. Well, if I was a chunky African American, I play like this. But basically, she talks a little bit more like this because she's from South America, so she talks like this.
So they were looking. I mean, obviously, they were looking for someone who was chunky and was 50-something.
Isn't that crazy?
Had that accent.
Well,
I went
and I auditioned originally for the part, and what they said was she looks nothing like what we envisioned.
Right.
So then they had the table reading. They were getting closer and closer to casting the role.
Right.
And they thought, okay, we have 2 days before we start filming, and this is what we're going to do. Let's bring back Alana. She made us laugh.
Right.
And let's just have her for the table read. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to totally go for this. I went to Rite Aid. I dyed my hair black.
Wow.
I got one of those box colors. I tanned my skin with that fake, like, you know, tanning bronzing
stuff.
True
uses it, yeah.
Okay, I just went off, baby, and I walked in with my double D padded bra and my big, huge, like, I had a little, like, extra, you know, little panning, you know, around my rumpus, you know, a couple of little pants going on and little, you know, sandals with the open toes and the nylons going through. I looked like my tia Licha or my tia Flora.
Wow.
And it was hilarious, and I walked in just looking just like the character, and I thought, what do I have to lose? What are they going to tell me? You look like a total schmuck. Get the hell out of here, you know, whatever.
And you won them over.
I won them over. They believed it. Meanwhile, after the reading, I looked back, looked down on the paper, and it was just totally soiled and like tan. Makeup. I was like, if they don't see this, then I'm safe.
And people that don't know, Alana is svelte. I mean, she doesn't have an ounce of fat on. We are going to play Ace's Ranchero accordion countdown.
All that mental, baby.
Yeah, she's a spinner.
That's what my boyfriend calls me.
El Gyro, they call them. They call her.
El Gyro, Spiral Gyro. ¿Cómo estás?
They call Adam El Cabal.
I'll hit you with a guitar. Yeah, the one who spins, they call. I like when they translate and it just sounds stupid.
El Gyro?
Yeah, the one who spins.
Right,
El Giro.
I like that one. And the other one I like is, you know, the ones I'm always confused by is the Chupacabra.
Yeah.
It means sucker of goat blood. It's like, okay, Chupacabra sounds great to us, but But you, to you guys, it means the goat that sucks the blood or the blood, the goat. Like, you guys couldn't do any better than that? We would have come up with a slick name, especially for an imaginary. You know, we don't call a unicorn the horsey thing with the thing on its head. We call it a unicorn. You know what I mean? If, in Mexico, they would call it the donkey with the pointy thing on the head. Pegasus? No, we call it the mule with the wings and the flapping.
The flies. You know?
The flies. All right. Give it a name.
All right.
Chupacabra needs a name in Mexico.
Right,
well,
right.
It's just so shattering to us because it sounds like its name.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
That should be its name. But the fact that it translates is disappointing.
Right. Yeah. Chupacabra. No, that's some scary stuff. My mom used to always tell me, you don't eat all your lima beans, the chupacabra's going to eat your ass.
That's good.
It's a winged eater.
Perfectly. Can't judge.
It kills goats. And by the way, here, something that kills goats, it's just called a farmer. Really, it's like a rancher. We don't, like, if there's a, hey, America, there's this thing that flies around and kills goats. Yeah, all right, tell us when it's killing us. Yeah. We don't care what it does to a goat. Yes?
It's a rancher.
We don't like goats.
It's a UFO.
All right, where were we talking about? So, for the part.
Yeah.
Obviously, you do the great accent and everything, and you got the fat suit on. Are you doing the prosthetics and the face?
Oh, it's hilarious. Well, they give me gray hair. They tan my skin. They give me big hoop earrings. I have a 15-year-old son. And they gave me big padded double D bras. I gained 10 pounds for the part while we were shooting it. My boyfriend kept giving me, like, spaghetti and meatballs every single night, and then I'd go right to bed.
Did you just to put it on in your face? Or I mean, why did you need to gain the weight? For your fingers or something?
My earlobes were doing all the acting for me.
Yeah.
To feel the part, you know? It's just to kind of get a little soft and a little bit more into the character because it made me feel more domestic and maternal. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And sexy.
Yeah, no.
That was fun.
Alanis is a very attractive woman.
Oh, thank you, baby.
And it really would be...
And Adam is all that and then some. Your mommy and daddy did a good job too, baby.
Those idiots.
A little dimple.
You're kidding.
Got a little freak on.
Great job. Let's get another welfare check. Some food stamps. I'm going to lock myself in the room and yell freak out.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Now, well, wait a minute. So they put the stuff, the jowls on you and the neck roll and all that stuff?
Well, no, it wasn't like Brando or anything like that. I didn't have like little piles of cotton on the side of my cheeks. But what I did have was, you know, padded hips.
But
I definitely had the padded hips.
Your head is so slender.
It works, man. It really works.
It works.
Once they pad everything and they put my boobs together and I had like big, huge tetas.
Yeah.
And a big, huge rumpus. It really worked.
Wow.
And they put this little house dress on me, and, like, I have little gray hairs and all around it. I looked like my tia Flora. I really did.
So it's going to, and I'm guessing then, and I'm guessing every, whatever time you spend on screen is to great comedic effect, because I can already see the character.
Oh, it's fun. It's fun.
And the thing is it's funny. It's right. It's like there are plenty of 50-something-year-old fat-ass chicks with Mexican accents who are hysterical, except for they don't know it.
Right.
They're not acting.
Right.
That's their life. I like when they're beating the crap out of the white kids when they're walking them down the street. Drew, you don't know that, but they traumatize the blonde kids. They drag them. The maids walk them down the street, and once in a while you see them on the corner just whacking
them.
They just start whacking them. Yeah, you ever see that, Drew?
No.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Your dad didn't give me a raise. Yeah? Never see that, Drew?
Good times.
Oh, it's all over. Your kids probably. Brain damage from that. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Did they used to do that to you? Did you have a hot Mexican maid who was like, you know...
Now, let me explain the Corolla.
She has a different view of your life, I think. You better straighten her out.
Yeah. Straighten me out, baby.
All right. Here's what the Corollas. Welfare, food stamps, dump that my grandparents let us squat in a beat-up Dodge Dart. There no maids, no, you know. No jobs. We needed a toaster oven. We get it from the garage. I mean, you get a garage sale or a thrift store or something.
Wow.
Poor and depressed.
That's
the
man.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like a comedian. You're a DJ on a show. This is amazing.
That's me.
But,
yeah.
Of course, you're working with a you know, shrink every single
day. Yeah, beautiful Dr. Drew over there. Board certified.
It's hot.
All right. What were we talking about? The phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Meet the Fockers, by the way, is out. Is it this Wednesday?
December 22nd, babes.
Oh, let's
That's
see.
When it's
Wednesday, December 22nd. So it'll be, is it 2 weeks from this Wednesday?
Couple weeks, babes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, already buzz going.
It's right around the corner.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to, maybe we should, all right, let's take a call. Let's take a call. I just thought it'd be fun to do with Alana.
Ranchero.
We got that, but we also got the, when you call the Mexican guy and the old lady picks up the phone.
What?
They get the who? My favorite.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. We did that the last time,
yeah,
remember?
I love that.
Can we have sex Mexican style on?
Yeah, not yet. Later, yeah. Later in the hour.
We can do that.
Oh, that's nice.
Ooh. Tiffany?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah. My question was, like, I was dating this guy who's uncircumcised, and we're, like, kind of still, you know, doing the nasty or whatever, but, like, I don't know. I never had a guy who was uncircumcised like that.
Nasty in more ways than one. Is he dirty? Does he bathe himself?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
What is your question?
Yeah, so what's up?
Just
what do you want us to do? Come on, there's a wet nap?
What a coincidence. Tiffany, like, what is your question?
My question is, I mean, I don't know what to do or whatever. I'm, like, kind of scared, like, if he wasn't able to get it up or whatever.
This doesn't sound like a question.
Yeah, this is either bogus or you're dumb or confused.
Well,
or
they say uncircumcised men, you know, have a better time in bed. Is it true?
No.
No.
But most of the world is uncircumcised, Tiffany. It's not as though it needs any special attention, from your standpoint anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Call the moil.
Well, I don't understand. You've not been with him sexually?
Well, I mean, that's going to be, it'll be the second time that I'll be... what it would happen or whatever. So,
what happened the first time?
The first time he wasn't able to get it up.
All right. Well, that has nothing to do with the circumcision or lack of circumcision.
Yeah, I've been with plenty of guys.
No, me too.
Even El Gyro.
El Gyro.
Never got it
the
up.
Spinner.
And,
what?
The one who spins.
Hey, ooh.
She who spins.
Like that.
Tiffany.
Yeah.
Yeah. If let me say this. If
what?
Guys who were uncircumcised could not achieve erections, there would be no world.
Right, because most of the world, most of the world is uncircumcised.
Well, not only that, for the first couple
million years
there were no moils.
Yes.
So there would never have procreated.
Yeah. So yes. Whatever his erectile problem is, it has nothing to do with the circumcision. All right. So maybe a little calmer situation. Maybe he hasn't ready to have sex yet. Maybe he's on some drugs or alcohol or medications, but not the circumcision.
Yeah, work it out. Work it out. All right, Alana, here's what I want to do with
no.
you.
No, come on.
I just love this.
They're going to do sex again.
What do you need?
Want that.
Give me some
direction. Here's all you got to do.
Okay.
I do the thing where I'm calling my boy Oswaldo.
Okay.
And the thing is his...
great aunt.
It could be his great aunt, could be his mom, whoever's living with him, picks up the phone. And then I say, and I can't figure this out. Alana's half Puerto Rican, half Mexican, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you can figure this out, because we talked about this last time you're in here.
You Italian?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You get the suspicious thing. First one is Ozzy there? Is Oswaldo there? First reply?
Wait. It's not just suspicious. It's suspicious and nervous.
Yeah. Who? Who? That's the first one. Who?
So you got?
Yeah, you got to hit me with that one.
Okay.
And then the next one is I say Oswaldo, and you act like he's holding a gun. Someone's holding a gun to your head.
Oswaldo, not home.
No, he's not here.
Eduardo no está aquí.
Right.
See? Who? Who? And then the next one is Eduardo. What's your name again? Oswaldo.
Oswaldo.
Eduardo no está aquí. Ay.
Yeah.
Is that good?
It's good to yell. Uh-huh. You know, it's nice yelling to someone off the phone, too.
Who? Like
someone's back who's behind you.
Oh, okay, you got
it. All right, we'll try. We'll try first take and see how it goes.
Ring, ring. Hello?
Hi. Is Oswaldo home?
Who?
Oswaldo?
It's not laugh, ha-ha, man. Who is this? Eduardo? No, Eduardo no está aquí. I ate him. Who the hell is this?
That's insane. Then by that point, I hang up, and I'm confused.
Yeah,
does he still live there? I don't know what's
going
on.
Do they know
on.
Who you're talking about?
Yeah, why the who? The guy, it's your grandson.
It's his house.
It's his house. You're living there. Be ready
you
for people.
You know what else it sounds like? Sounds like I swallowed, and she probably thinks it's like, you know, crane caller, and I'm saying caller or something.
Well, any name will do, but I just mean there's always the suspicious who. But I think that's a time buyer. That's all.
All right,
you did a wonderful job.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thanks.
That's perfect.
Thanks.
That's exactly how it goes. We'll try. We'll do three good. We'll do three in a row. You ready?
Okay, you got it.
Is Oswaldo there?
Who?
Is, we'll do a variation.
Okay.
Is Eduardo there?
Kent!
And we'll do one more. Is Enrique home?
No, Enrique home!
Perfect.
Oh, thanks.
Perfect.
I try.
Yeah. No, I'm going to cast you. I'll put some weight on you.
Thanks,
and
man.
Cast you in the show.
Darken the skin up a little bit.
Melanie?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Mm-hmm.
What's the matter, baby doll?
Well, basically, I'm in this, quote, like, relationship type thing with my boyfriend, and we've been going out for about, like, a month and 2 weeks. And
well, let me stop you. What do you mean, quote, relationship? Why did you put it?
Quote, unquote, well, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, like,
why
it's a relationship, but I don't know. I just feel like it's not really working anymore.
Why?
Well, because, we've already, like, had sex and stuff.
And you're 14. How old is this guy?
He's 14.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you using any protection?
Oh, of course.
Good.
Mm-hmm. What are you using?
Latex condoms.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Yeah, latex. All right. Mm-hmm. So, what's he doing? He's not calling you back, or what's going on?
Well, he'll call me, but he'll just be, really distant, and then he'll say, I'm tired, so I'm going to go, and it's only, 7 o'clock.
Maybe you're both freaked out by having had sex so young. I mean, I imagine either one of you would be flipped out about that.
No, 14-year-old guys are just, they're goofy, they don't know how to conduct themselves, they have no rap.
But imagine you're in that far in a relationship, you're 14, what have I done? How do I handle this
now? How do you even know about how to have an orgasm at
they
that
don't.
Age? I had my first orgasm as when I was 16, and I did it by myself,
Yeah.
I was, 14.
Spinning. That's right. Yeah.
Spin is what it's all about. Yeah. She who spins.
Melanie?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. You guys have been. How many times have you had sex?
Only once.
Only once?
Yeah.
Was that an okay thing for you?
Well, yeah, it was fine with me, but, it's just kind of shameful. He'll be all distant and everything, and then, I'll complain about it. Say, hey, why aren't you calling me or anything anymore? And he'll just be all oh, I'm sorry, I love you, and blah, 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 and it just, it seems kind of strange.
He's just a spaz, really. You guys don't know how.
Well, this is all you do at 14,
but,
is
you know
try
what?
To
this,
read
here's
each
my
other.
Thing. Here's my thing about
Go.
This. This is as good an outcome as there can possibly be from 14-year-olds having sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In the horrible outcomes, we end up with somebody suicidal, somebody pregnant, mm-hmm. somebody on drugs and alcohol. The best possible outcome is two goofy 14-year-olds completely confused, mm-hmm. far too far into the intimacy, mm-hmm. not knowing how to handle it, in pain, confused, spinning around, probably screwing up at school as a result.
Yeah.
And it's as good as it gets for 14-year-old having sex. It's
right.
a disaster, no matter how you look at it.
Right.
So kind of, Melanie, pull it back, just... You can keep the relationship going, but stop the sexual thing. It's screwing everything up for you.
Three out of four 14-year-old guys are spazzes anyway. And I don't mean spaz, but they don't communicate well. Guys in their 30s aren't good at communicating
yes,
in a relationship.
Of 14-year-olds,
are you kidding me?
Are you kidding?
Plus, the ones that get laid magically are the ones who can't form a sentence.
Right.
I don't know what that is.
By the way, the woman's a graduate student at 14. The guy's some sort of Martian.
Yeah, you talk to your friend's kids once in a while, and it's how's it going?
Fine.
Okay.
Fine.
So, you're playing baseball tomorrow? Mm-hmm. You're looking forward to that?
Stop.
It's okay.
Stop.
They look down, they get weird. I don't know what it is, but 14-year-old guys, and that's a guy who's getting laid. You show me a guy who can string together a sentence, I'll show you guys not getting anything until the junior year of college. Truth, don't let your boys talk.
Don't worry.
You know what I'm going to do? If I have sons, I'm going to have them practice brooding. Brood. You take an hour. Put that pen down and put that textbook down and work on your brooding,
son. Come on,
son.
Adam. You know that comedy is the greatest,
social
lubricant.
Yeah,
look what it did for you. It was fantastic.
I'll tell you who was a big cut-up in high
school, all women say
they
want a guy with a good sense of humor, Adam.
Jimmy Kimmel, funniest guy in high school. No, I didn't. He tells me every day how funny he was. Didn't translate into 1 ounce of Poontang. Not one
ounce. Oh, poor
ounce.
Thing. Poor Jimmy.
One
All right.
ounce.
Hey, before
Not
we go to break, ounce. Ranchero yeah. countdown.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, now here's how the game is played. We play the Ranchero music. We come in a random Ranchero song, in any random song, at any random point, and we try to decide in advance how long before we hear an accordion. Could be the beginning of the song, could be the middle, could be the end. How long? Now, Drew, you make your first bet.
First bet?
Because got to give Alana a
eight
shot.
Eight seconds.
Eight seconds.
That's a bold.
Going deep.
Deep.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, now you can go immediate, too. You could just hear the accordion in wherever engineer Chris...
I mean, you know Ranchero music.
Right,
sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
The accordion figures a little bit into that music.
Very unpredictable.
Yeah. Drew's going 8 seconds. Alana, what do you got?
Oh, 6, man.
Okay.
6.
Definitely 6.
Smart.
Oh, absolutely. I know
reasonable.
My Ranchero music.
Reasonable. What are you doing now?
I'm going 3 seconds.
I think it's good.
Three seconds.
That's good. It's probably going to be immediate.
All right.
I hope not another arenas.
We'll count you in, all right, Chris?
Okay.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
This is that horrible song. I hate this song.
I love this song.
Well, that, come on.
Oh, it's over.
Chris, that didn't count. No. Stop it.
It stopped. He has no...
There you go.
Yeah. Hold on. Drew, be quiet.
I took a natural pause, that's all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It stopped, huh? All right, now wait a minute. Now that's hard to figure now.
Wait, play me a real Ranchero song. This one just sucks.
Hold on, let this song play because this song's making me horny. The Gringo's returned to the apartment and he's horny for his hot little Alana.
Okay.
Yeah, there's
your.
Yeah,
there you are. I've been waiting for you.
Yeah, it's a tight smock you're wearing.
I see. It's my momo. You like what you see underneath, baby?
I'll tell you what, I'm going to flip up that flat like a quarterback getting under center.
Do it slow, do it slow.
Right against the stove, baby. I'm going to use this crystal for lube.
What is your name again, baby?
Oh, yeah.
What's your name?
He who spins.
He who spins.
Yeah.
Hang on. ¿Cuál es tu nombre?
All right.
Get out of here. My husband's going to be here any minute, baby.
Okay. All right. Wait, just can
next time, do it a little faster. Right?
Let me give him one of those corn muffins for the road.
You got it.
Thanks. And just a sip. I just want to hit off that Gatorade for. Hit off that Sunny D. Thank you. Let me just want to wipe my wick off with that horchata there.
Wipe it on my mumu, baby. Wipe it right here.
I don't want to come home smelling like you. It's going to smell like cinnamon.
And one last rice-based product.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. I'm double parked. All right. Let's take a little break. I really do feel like I did something there.
Yeah.
Well, I got a head rush there, Drew.
Oh, yeah. I'm pregnant.
Alana Ubach is
pregnant.
Tonight.
Alana Ubach is pregnant.
Sure, she's working on her ninth. She's also going to be in a Meet the Fockers, which is... You see? Hold on a second. I think, now there's something interesting here, which is...
The FCC, this allows this.
Well, here's the thing. The joke of the movie,
of course,
and of the guy's name is that it's close to the F word,
yes.
Not quite. But if you say it, and you say it verbatim, Meet the Fockers. If you say it, but you say it with an accent.
That's it.
Yeah, it is.
It's the real thing.
But technically, we have an out. You know what I'm saying?
Which, by the way, the fact that there's a technicality shines a bright light on how ludicrous all this
is. But Alana is free to say in her accent, Meet
the fuck.
All right, we won. We won on a technicality. She's got an accent.
I wonder if the marketing of this film is going to be restricted because of that.
It hasn't heard it so far. All right, well, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back to talk a little more with Alana about what movie?
Meet the Fox.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Alana Ubach is here tonight from the new movie.
Meet the Fockers.
It's so easy, but I laugh every time. Yeah, Meet the Fockers, everybody. It is out in a couple of weeks, out on the 22nd, on a Wednesday, December 22nd.
Go check it out.
Going to be huge. And Alana is such a versatile actress that she's able to play a nubile, English hottie, who's next to Reese Witherspoon in Legally Blonde, and now a husky Mexican maid in Meet the Fockers. I mean, that's range.
That's range.
Right?
Yeah, that's range.
And they just so, if you didn't tune into the first segment, we're doing a little Mexican accent night because that is the character. What is your character's name, by the way?
The character's name is Isabel.
Perfect.
Isabel, and Isabel is the South American.
Not Central America, but South America.
South America, Central America. You know, we couldn't really quite figure that out because she makes chimichangas.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, she's supposed to be from, like, South America, Central America. So
Central America. Though.
Yeah,
most of the
chimichangas
people
are Mexican, aren't they? Chimichangas.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean,
Mexican.
but if you're from El Salvador or Nicaragua.
Sure, absolutely, she's gay.
El Salvador.
Yeah, she's from all over the place, you know.
But El Salvadorians never call themselves from South America, though.
Right, no, Central America, absolutely.
Latin America.
Well, when Jay Roach and I were trying to discuss where this character might be from, he was like, you know, take a pick. She could be from Colombia. She could be from Argentina. She can be from Nicaragua, Guatemala. And I was like, oh, my God.
Argentina.
Where would she be from? Where should she be? Action. Oh, God. Okay. Oh. So it's basically, you know, kind of evolved into, you know, just a big potpourri of all the accents I've heard of growing up.
And is your half Puerto Rican and half Mexican?
Yes.
In your
and all sexy.
Who's what? Yeah, because and you're also very
sure.
Well, first off, you don't look Puerto Rican or
I look
Mexican.
Like a Jewish American princess.
Right.
I
what
know.
Happened? How'd that work?
Let me tell you, my mom has red hair and freckles. It's hilarious.
She's Puerto Rican?
She's Mexican. She's from Sinaloa, Mexico. Yeah, but my grandparents all had like blonde hair and blue eyes, but they were Spaniards.
Right, the Spaniards. Mm-hmm.
So they were Moranos during the Spanish Inquisition, blah, 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 boring story, but they all came out to Mexico and Puerto Rico. My father had blue eyes. So it's just a combination of the two of them, you know.
Wow.
They bore a Jewish American little princess, didn't they?
Is anyone Jewish?
In my family?
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, I would definitely think there's a little bit of Sephardic in us, if anything.
Where'd you grow up?
I was born and raised in Downey, around the corner from the Carpenters, Karen and Richard.
Wow.
Yeah, dude.
Creepy.
But you don't,
really creepy.
They, like, lived at home, and their parents wouldn't let them move out.
Oh, yeah,
like
no.
Selling millions of records.
Yeah, they had this huge, huge cake of a mansion that was right around the corner from us, and it was, like, the biggest house and, like, a big slew of, like, track houses right by the freeway, but they were very glamorous because they gave out dollar bills during Halloween.
Oh, wow.
So anytime I'd go and knock on the door, I'd be like, oh, it's me again. They're like, hey, weren't you the little pumpkin that just came by a little while ago? But I'd make like $20 in one night. It was awesome.
My mom was a health food nut, so she would hand out...
Oh, how embarrassing.
Straw,
like trail mix and stuff?
Hay. She would hand out the mini boxes of raisins.
No!
Oh, yeah. And one year, it was walnuts.
Oh.
And by the way, let me tell you, this stuff, it becomes ammunition when they get to the end of the driveway.
Oh,
they just turn around and fire it right back at the house.
Oh, that's terrible.
You just stand on the porch dodging fire from the disgruntled nine-year-olds all day. Yeah, it's horrible.
Did she get the message? No.
No. No, let's act with the kids. And look, just turn the lights off and
close the door.
Blow
the
candle out, the jack-o'-lantern. People keep moving. They don't waste their precious time coming up your crappy house and getting a walnut.
But
Jesus Christ. Do you see what I was dealing with?
It's kind of creepy. She was out of her time. She was just
being walnut.
No, no, no.
A little conscious.
No. All right. So, yeah, Alana,
it's cool.
Here tonight. Movie's coming out a couple of weeks. And I predict this movie. I think the first movie, Meet the Parents, was like it did well, and it was word of mouth. People told everyone go see it. I don't know what it did on its opening weekend, but I predict this is going to have to double that last.
Thing, yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
amazing, all the masters. It's pretty
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. Yeah, De Niro and Streisand.
Are you in scenes with everybody?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
and
awesome.
Dustin Hoffman is hilarious. He should be on the show.
Well, oh, really?
He's
him
the
up.
Funniest guy.
Go
He's
get
just,
him.
He comes back with little one-liners. He is Lenny Bruce. He is Lenny Bruce.
Jesse?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yes.
What's up?
What's up? Yeah, okay. I'm just wondering, Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm really interested in your career and whatnot, and I'm really interested in getting into that, actually. And I'm just wondering what type of schooling you went through and what classes and whatnot you had to take.
To be an internist?
Yes.
You got to go to medical school, and you got to do a residency in internal medicine and then a fellowship in addiction medicine.
Well, you want to be addiction medicine specialist, Jesse?
Yeah. I
So you got to get it. You got to get into a good college, and then you got to get into a medical school, and then you got to get into a residency. You
gotta forget it. Just marry a guy who makes
money.
Wait. Okay. I don't know if this is weird. I'm kind of really interested in like, marriage therapy and like sex therapy and stuff. Is that weird for like?
Nah. It's still. If you really want to get into the depths of it, you still need to get an MD first.
Well, okay. Hey, Jesse.
Yes.
Yeah, you could be a counselor.
You can get a PhD or a PsyD.
Okay.
Jesse, like, how are you doing in school? Are you doing well?
Yeah, I'm doing very well actually. I have 10 classes. Most
10 classes in high school?
I'm taking a few APs in there, and good. I mean it's fine. And
just get into the best college. Just get into the best college you can. Don't worry about what you're taking right now. And in fact, don't waste too much of your time with the sciences in college. Take a lot of liberal studies too.
Yeah.
Me and my friend listen to you all the time, and we just love you guys so much. Like Adam, you're all powerful. Okay.
It's true.
Escalana.
In more ways than one, baby. You have no idea, Jesse.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And, okay,
I like the brown sugar, too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know your Ranchero Countdown?
Yes.
We created a game ourselves. It's called the Cutoff Countdown. We're in band together, and our
Did I just cut her off?
Yeah.
Is it called the Cutoff Countdown?
Well.
Was that what she was calling it?
You won!
Yeah.
You won the countdown. You cut her off.
Jesse?
Hello? Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. It's called the Cutoff Countdown?
Yeah, okay. We're in band together, and our director cuts off randomly at times and just starts bitching. So, we're just like, whoa, before we start, we're like, okay, I give it eight measures, you know?
Right,
so
before the conductor stops and starts yelling at everyone.
So he's like, okay, and he starts.
That's good. That's good way to amuse yourself.
I just cut her off, ironically.
Yeah.
You know, the first round, speaking of Ace's Mexican Ranchero Accordion Countdown, I felt a little empty because
there
was a long beat.
Yeah.
I don't care if you like the song,
but
Drew,
you want to feel satisfied by the ranchero
Drew,
spirit.
You don't understand that is the essence of ranchero.
No, no.
The worse, the more the ranchero.
You need live mariachis coming in here and really busting moves.
And it's working on it, but until then, all we have is engineer answer. That song is the essence of it because are you annoyed? Do you feel like punching somebody?
Yes.
Or is your skin crawling?
Yes.
Is your scalp dilating?
Teeth, yes.
Yeah. Then that's ranchero music. Do you understand? You've been moved.
All right.
So I think we have to play another round.
Because
someone had a big, long pause in the middle of it.
You want to take one more call?
Ranchero Countdown, no good. You don't like that game.
One more call.
A quick call.
Then.
All right.
Okay. And Chris, give us a real ranchero song, please.
Nicolette, and we don't want the boy screening. This has to be pure, Drew.
Random. All right, random.
Nicolette?
Hi.
You're 25?
I'm 25, and basically I've been on a Depo-Provera shot for 5 years.
Oh, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it, by the way. But the only problem that I'm having is I'm getting excited with my current boyfriend. And this has, happened in the past, too. But I'm not, I'm not getting wet, basically.
That is a rather common side effect of the
depo shot. Having to sneak in, the KY. I'm like, oh, you dropped a sock. Oh, go get the condom.
Why sneak in?
You do that so quickly.
Wait. He doesn't care, Nicolette. Just bring it right in. He'll be fine.
Oh, I know, but it's kind of embarrassing, though. You know what I mean?
Why is it? It's a side effect of the shot you're taking. It doesn't make you depressed. It doesn't interfere with your libido, which it can, for many women, do. And it's just making you a little dry, so you bring the lubricant in. That's fine.
Can I ask you a question? If you masturbate a little bit before you have sex with your boyfriend, does that help at all?
I have actually never masturbated before. And then another
question. Fantastic. You'll never need a boyfriend again.
That's right.
And then I don't know if I've been with, a few guys. I don't know if I've ever had an orgasm either.
Uh-oh.
So I can't really ask my girlfriend about it because I'm like, yes, I feel like a gamp about it basically. So
can I make a suggestion?
The depo kind of works against you. It can make it difficult to have an orgasm. That's one of the problems with that shot.
But she hasn't always been on the depo.
I understand, but she's been on for 5 years, and that's a lot of her sexual.
Oh, she has.
Yeah.
5 whole years. All right, let Alana
You may want to talk to her maybe get some estrogen cream because sometimes estrogenizing the vaginal area helps with that lubrication.
Where do you put it? Put it down there?
Put it right on in.
Wow.
And sometimes perhaps that can be enough estrogen in your system to restore things like orgasmic function.
All right, let Alana give her
there are these sex shops that you can go to. They're really great, like the Pleasure Chest. And what you can do is you can, you know, go up to the person in the front of the counter. Mm-hmm. And you can say, look, I'm really having trouble having an orgasm with my boyfriend. Basically, do you have any sort of, like, little belts that I can wear or something like that?
All right, let me explain.
Honestly, I've tried it, and they're fantastic.
Who
they're great.
Who you're talking
you
to.
You turn them on while you're having sex with your boyfriend, and you see the heavens. It's awesome.
The spinner says.
Wow. Wow.
El Giro.
Passionate.
Speaketh.
Passionate.
It's great. It's great.
Yeah, it's great talking to the guy at the Pleasure Chest, the guy with the wearing the hockey jersey and the cutoff sweats and the flip-flops. He's fat. He's got that bad goatee.
It looks like the guy from The Simpsons that has the comic book store.
Right, yeah. Right. And he's like, yeah, a facility, the vibrators, we gotta fire them up because there's no returns. Dildos, obviously, there's nothing. They don't take bad shots. Everyone's focused now. Now everyone's looking at you. All right, that's good. He bangs a couple of times. Okay, it's solid. All right. You want some NICADs with that? I don't recommend NICADs the first outing. Just go.
Hurt yourself.
Yeah, you just go with the more generic type battery and then work your way up to a Duracell. Okay, because, yeah, you could burn out. You could burn out the whole.
There's also the pocket rocket. That's fantastic, sweetheart. Go get that.
Yeah, she needs to get going on stuff. I agree. All right, should we play a little Aces Mexican Ranchero recording countdown?
Alana, here you go. What's your bet? How long?
12 counts.
12 seconds.
12 seconds.
Instant. I'll go instant.
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 I got to tell you that 12 is a lifetime.
But last one.
Eight. Sorry.
Eight's a better bet.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
That last one was about 12.
I'm going five.
All right.
I'm going five. All right.
0, 5, and 8.
Okay. You ready there, Chris? 3, 2, 1, go.
Now instant.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah, you won.
Oh, it's all over the place. Yeah, Anna, what are you talking about? It was, no. It was everywhere. From the second. Yes. Oh, yes.
Well,
who's doing that in the background?
I don't know. You can't just scream you've won over the music.
Can you back it up? 7, 12 seconds?
You can't back it.
Oh, well.
Dame Georgia.
What are they singing? What are they talking about?
They're saying, give me back my pussycat, give me back my pussycat. Where did that pussycat go? Meow, meow. Meow, meow.
See, I told you, they're not scared to deal with topics.
Dame chocha, meow, meow, meow.
They're willing to take society by the lapels and shake it senselessly.
With the topics, they tackle.
Where
the songs.
Yeah,
they're like Nirvana meets Bob Dylan.
Oh, just social commentary. Deep, oh. Profound.
Yeah. Oh, here it is.
Oh, okay. Listen to that.
All right.
Listen to those magic fingers.
This is under protest, Drew. Under protest.
Hey, Anderson, how
under
dare
protest.
You?
Didn't we just talk about how it's horrible music and it makes our skin crawl, and now we're playing it?
Hey, Anderson, will you relax? Are you racist or something? What's the matter with you?
I think it's kind of groovy. It makes me feel like an extra in traffic, you know?
Yeah.
You
feel like a drunk
Del Toro's like buying that pops, sucking on the pops.
Anderson gets a buzz when he hears this music. It's a problem.
Mm. Yeah, because he's never heard it. Many people have never heard this sober.
I never have. Yeah. It's like being hungover and not drinking.
Yeah. Well,
has Anderson ever heard any music? So, No.
I don't think so.
No.
Maybe just whatever's on his clock alarm. It goes off at noon. All right, let's take a little break.
I like this song.
Yeah, see, this is good one.
This
yeah,
is
this moves
music, right?
Yeah.
I think she just said, wax my ass.
And I've always, that's nice. And I've always told them, this nothing says ranchero like New England in the wintertime.
Mm.
This doesn't just smack
maple
syrup and covered bridges and the leaves changing.
Oh, 100%.
Can't you see it? Oh, yeah.
100%,
oh, of course.
Definitely.
Let's take ourselves a little bit of a break. Alana Ubach is here tonight from the new movie.
Meet the mother.
I don't think that's going out.
Oh, no.
I don't think that's going out.
Sorry. Never again. I'm sorry.
I think it's the name of the movie.
The mother effers.
All right. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Alana Ubach is here tonight.
Yes.
Alana is...
Once Ubach.
a very, very talented actress who's in the new Meet the Fockers movie, which is coming out on the 22nd of December. It's not even worth plugging this movie. It's going to be that huge.
Oh, thank you. Your mouth of God's yours, right?
Plays. You don't need God. You don't need anyone on this one. Cool. It's going to be huge. Yeah. People are buzzing about it already, and the snobs I hang out with, you know? I mean, the writers and the pseudo-intellectual types are all getting primed to see this one. And I thought, I think the Barbara Streisand casting was great, and that obviously Dustin Hoffman. And it's just everyone's just on pins and needles. And your character playing the
Isabel,
big Spanish maid,
the Spanish housekeeper,
is
and I look nothing like my part. It's awesome.
You're gonna steal the show.
Oh, thank you.
I predict there'll be a spinoff. They'll spin a whole movie off.
No, they'll have a whole TV series.
Isabel's cooking show.
Yeah.
I hope that everyone enjoyed that chimichanga screamy last time. Yeah. You know what I mean? That'd be very cool, right?
Now I don't know where I was. Oh, I want to say this. I don't know if I did this thing today where I checked my messages, my saved messages on the message center. I don't know if you guys have the message center. It's really weird and depressing, and you feel bad. Hmm. The thing is, like, if you have a phone machine, you kind of got to listen to your messages and then write them down. Mm. But if you have that message center, which the phone company provides, they can do this thing where you save the messages. So oftentimes, you'll hear a message, and you'll just immediately save it. Like, but then if you're like me, you don't go back and listen to it for 3 months, and then there'll be 28 of them.
Right.
And then one day, you'll finally go, I got to listen to these messages, and it's horribly uncomfortable. Because it's like the date will be like September 22nd, and it'll be like, hey, Adam, I'm in town for 3 days. It's your old buddy Rob. Give me a call. Look at, and then you realize you never called the guy, and you your skin crawls. You start. I actually will sort of walk in place because I'm uncomfortable. Like and now here's where it gets bad. I'm not name dropping, but Dexter from The Offspring called.
Oh yeah, you're supposed to fly with him
2 months ago.
Yes, I remember.
Hey,
that.
Buddy, it's Dexter from The Offspring. I'm coming out to L.A. in the next couple of weeks. The band's got a break.
Oh.
Want to take you flying, buddy.
Remember,
give me a call. And I'm like, the date on it was like November 2nd.
Oh,
and I'm like,
no.
By the way, that might have been 03.
Yeah, it could have been 03. And I was like, I you know, it's like, and you start talking, like you go, hey, sorry, buddy. Hey, buddy. It's, no, I'm going to, it's a horrible thing to have for a person like me, I've realized. Because you hear, you're in a rush, you're listening to your message, maybe you're looking for someone, you just hit save.
Right.
Hit save. I'll get back to him. Hit save. And it's just a long slew of people that are dying or old friends that have come into town or rock stars that want to take you in the airplane. And you completely blew everyone off. And by the way, once it gets into the save pot, you don't go back and check it very often. You just feel like the world's biggest a-hole.
No, because it accumulates. Who wants to go through, like, you know, old laundry?
Yeah, and it's weird. You have this visceral thing where you start talking and you're sorry. It's like when you step on your dog. That's what it is. And the dog's like, and you're like,
didn't mean it.
Yeah, you're talking to the dog. Yeah, that's what it was. Drew, you don't have that message center, huh?
No, I answer my messages. No. I don't know how frustrating it is trying to hold somebody that doesn't answer his phone or his message.
Got to get that message center. Alana, you have message center?
Yeah, my boyfriend likes to save all of his messages and, like, make a huge story out of all these messages that are saved. And they're usually, like, messages where I call him up and say, we really have to talk about that you know, that French maid outfit that I found inside of your closet yesterday. Please call me back. And, like, he'll save them and have me listen to them.
That's
it's torture.
Right. That's right.
It's torture.
Not as much torture as your buddy's going to be in town for 2 days. He's staying at the airport. Hilton,
so
give him
uncool.
A call. It's been too long. We got to catch up. That was 6 weeks ago.
Oh, man, dude.
Oh, what an a-hole you must be to them.
Right, ever had a couple of people in jail wanting you to bail them out?
Hell, a whole family.
God, I'm sorry.
Let's get back to the phones and speak
line
to
three.
Line Michelle.
Marie.
Line 3. All right. Let's talk to Marie. Marie?
Yes.
You're 25?
Yes.
You suspect your husband is a cross-dresser?
Yes.
Why? How come?
I was watching the show on HBO the other day, and I saw it just gave me some clues that I think that maybe that's what he's doing.
Like what?
Well, it was talking about just the type of person that was talking on there, and it really freaked me out, and it made me really scared.
Well, why did you say so?
Talk about specific information.
Man, was that clear now.
Just talking about the kind of guy.
Well, you know what? It just seemed like
he's a cross-dresser. We don't need to hear any more. I mean, when you hear that kind of damning
evidence.
It's like
a Carver novel or something like that. That's amazing.
That's a smoking gun.
We dressed up for Halloween as Mary-Kate and Ashley and thought it was going to be really funny. I couldn't get him out of the outfit.
What do you mean? Like, well into the next week, or what do you mean?
No, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't get him out of the outfit. And my friends were looking at me, going, "You know what, Marie? Chris is not. You know, he's liking this outfit a little too much."
Okay. Hold on, Chris, Marie.
Yeah, name dropping.
Is that mean anything to you?
Something.
Marina.
Yeah, that's a bogus call. You know, Alana.
Oh.
Is that you?
Pardon?
Uh-oh.
Athena.
What? So?
Get off the phone. That's my sister. How did you get on the air?
I
turned my headphones down. Crazy.
Yeah. Does she sound just like me?
Great. You're very cool.
Oh, thanks, kiddo.
You know what? I think Adam has a little bit of a crush on you.
Oh, he does, doesn't
little
he?
Bit.
Yeah, I know. I can tell.
A little bit. It's powerhouse.
My sister's a therapist.
Believe me. I know the stuff. You got a little bit of a crush on my sister. That's cool.
Yeah, no, she's
a little bit of a crush. He's crawling across the tabletop here. What are you talking about?
You know what, though? We really did dress up like Mary-Kate and Ashley, and Alana did our makeup, and it was fantastic.
Oh.
Thanks,
no, we looked exactly alike. It was fabulous.
Now, this is wonderful.
All right, Athena, I'm going with Athena. Hold on a second, Athena. We're running late on our break. That's
I
your
love
sister.
You,
all right, we'll talk all about her when we get back.
Wait,
what's the new movie we're going to see?
Meet the Fools.
All right, after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Alana Ubach is here tonight.
And I'm naked.
And her sister.
She's, who called in just a little bit earlier.
One of the rare females to sort of give us a bogus call on her own initiative.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Got that gene. Lana's in Meet the Fockers, which is coming out on the 22nd.
Meet the Fockers. Well, check it out, man.
On December, plays the big Spanish maid. And I was thinking with Alana, I think, you know, what's the downside? Because you and I, we're sort of students. We know people. We know women. We know how they work. You know, she's beautiful. She's
funny. Oh,
that's
what you think. Do you really think you know women and you know how they work and everything like that?
Well,
I do. Hang out with women who make you think that you know women and how they work and what they do.
Well, he knows enough to know that nobody really knows. There's no rational.
No, we know people
construct.
And women are people, sort of. The point is Alana is attractive and she's
naked.
Funny and she's naked and she's talented. Where's the dark side?
Can I show you
where's
something?
Where's it come out?
Where's the dark side?
Yeah.
I'll show you right now,
show
baby.
Show the dark side.
You ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. How's that for the dark side, baby? You like what you see? You like that, baby?
Isn't her sister vomiting now? Or calling a pet team? One or the other. Sister says a therapist. She's either barfing or calling a pet team.
You watch that Hookers on the Brink show on HBO? It's
fantastic.
They go to the worst neighborhoods in the world, and they mic up the hookers, and it's and then the guys try to talk them down from an $18 hand job. So watch, I'll show you how that one goes.
There we go.
We get in the car together, and you ask me what I want.
Okay, baby, what you need?
How much for a BJ?
Ooh. A BJ?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on, honey. You dirty. We inside of a Corolla. You can say the word. Say it, baby.
How much?
Come on, say the word.
How much?
How much?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you want it?
I want
a little bit of hand job first? You want me to go down on you?
Yeah.
How long do you want it to last,
I want a little
baby?
Hand. I want a little hand, and then I want to finish with the BJ.
Oh, okay. How do you like? Okay, hold on. Here we go.
How much?
Something's growing.
I need a price
Something's growing.
I need a price.
It's called the price. That's what's growing, baby.
No, I got it.
It's going to get... How about 25?
25?
25,
Who am I, mother rocker?
25, motherfucker.
Girl, you got to do better. You got to do better than that.
I'm going to pull it off of you.
You got to do me better than that.
Oh, come on, man. I licked the shoulder and everything. What you talking about? I found you waiting on me and everything while I'm going down.
18. 18.
18?
18.
18, man. And now I ain't going to fondle the balls. I'm going to cradle your nuts.
Okay.
Okay? Right. You can just get those cradling nuts days in your head. You can just put it out of your mind right now. I'm just going to go down on you and going to take 10 seconds.
All right, $12.
Give me the cash now.
I'll give you half.
Hand it over,
half now, half on delivery of semen.
What is this? Excuse me?
I got 12. I got
12. Well, I ain't going to give you a hand job, man. Blue balls.
No, I need to
don't even think about coming unless I get my other six.
I got an ATM that only gives out $12.
Listen, you better bust your nut, but first, you give me six more.
All right, hold on. Unless my wife uses
I'm
this car.
Out of here, man.
My wife uses the van for carpool. I want to put a trash bag down.
What is this? What is this? This is a Boba Fett? What kind of sick, perverted man are you? You got kids.
Well, she carpools. Tomorrow's her day, so I'm
going to. What did the GI Joe go on here too?
It's got automatic doors. I just hit the clicker on the remote.
Okay, here we go.
All right, let me focus now.
Quick and painless.
Okay, well, don't talk. I got to focus now. All right, don't make that noise. No, I got to focus. If you just be quiet, it's going to take too long. All right, let me focus now.
You're a small mofo, ain't you?
No, okay.
You poor thing. No wonder you be getting hookers off.
You just added 10 minutes. You want to go for 20? Okay. Now focus. All right. Let me just pull your skirt up just a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me.
You want combat?
I got to stop you guys. Let me focus.
Real big. That's right.
Let me focus.
Okay.
Let me focus. All right, out of the van.
Man,
I gotta go.
Eye.
Out of the van.
$25.
Here's $2. I gotta go.
You came in my eye.
Here's the wet nap.
You busted a nut in my eye. $25.
All right. Well, FCC's gonna pull us off the air. Drew, please jump in. You gotta stop this.
I'm trying to
Don't
stop
make me
it.
Take you my 38
stop?
Out.
You gotta stop. You stop and putting your hand over your mouth? All right, let's keep going.
I'm sorry. We really repulsed you, didn't we?
Yeah.
No, I'm afraid we're gonna get off the air.
That's all right.
No, God.
That's all right. Safe harbor.
Sorry about that.
All right, you ready to rock? All right. Rochelle? 20?
Oh, God. We scared the world, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. We got I got Alana's friend on the 7. Rochelle?
Hello?
What's happening?
Me and my ex-boyfriend, we worked together for 3 years on and off.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, he's a Marine, but he was very aggressive. He drank a lot. He had a temper. Mm-hmm. And we broke up. And now this other guy likes me, but he's also a Marine, and he has all the traits that my ex-boyfriend had.
The traits that you shouldn't have been involved with in the first place.
Yeah, and that's
what's your dad like?
Because I want to go out and date again. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, I am working and going to school. It's just...
Mm-hmm. Well, Alana asked the right question. Is what is
what's
it that makes
like?
You... Yeah, what makes you attracted to guys like this? And usually it's something to do with dad.
Yeah, my dad he abandoned me when I was about 3 years old.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Well.
All right.
Well, now you got rid of one abusive guy and you got a new abusive guy. So why don't you get rid of this guy
right.
and then not replace him with an abusive guy?
There you go.
It's his problem. But I mean, like, how do I find a decent guy? I guess?
There are no decent guys.
No,
none. Zero.
Girl.
Zero.
Engineer Chris beats the crap out of his old lady every night when he comes home.
Rochelle, you are attracting and attracted to a minority.
Look at him. He's a killer.
So if you cannot be with someone who is a normal person, who is not disturbed,
rough
aggressive,
trade, that's his game.
Abusive, then you need treatment. Mm-hmm. You got to get some help.
Yeah, I went into therapy, and I dug up a lot of, shows dark secrets I was holding in. You know, I was kind of depressed for a while because I was on the demo shot, but...
Yeah. Well, listen, Rochelle, all you have to do is not go out and actively F up your life. That's a lot. Let's talk about this for a second. People want to know why everything's coming their way. Oh man, why the firings? Why the abuse? Why the bad boyfriends? Why the road rage? Why? You go out and find it. There's ways to avoid it. You should really be spending your life trying to avoid bad people and bad situations. I mean, if
and
you think
by the
about
way,
it,
if you're the kind of person that has been abused and is attracted to abusive people, you should use that attraction to avoid, to know that somebody you avoid.
Right.
You should learn to read that.
But let's talk about this for a second, because we always talk about, if you're a winner, you have the ways of a winner. Yes, you do make smart decisions in business, relationship, what have you. You also avoid a ton of ass. Maybe more stuff than you actually...
Go after.
You actually spend more time avoiding negative situations and actually can have a better life through not getting stabbed, for instance, by going with your buddy down to Van Nuys so you can score some crack and hanging out. The voice in your head that says, you go alone, I'll catch you on the next one, that's That's the voice you got to listen to. And guys who have good lives, who have good jobs, who make good money, who have good relationships and don't get stabbed, they listen to that don't do it voice. Absolutely. Even more than the do it.
Absolutely.
Yes? But it's weird. It's never really, it's like that, when did you know you wanted to be a doctor, Drew? Well, I knew when, and then you wanted to get into it. It's all about sort of these positive moves. There's a lot of holding back.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff where like, I'm glad I didn't go with those guys. I would have got shot with them.
That's right.
And
some people can't do that.
No, they can't.
Yeah.
And then they want to know why it keeps happening. Well, it keeps happening because you're bringing these people home. You're going out with them. Mm. You're telling your boss off. All this kind of, there's a lot of sort of staying at home and buttoning your lip you got to do on the road to success. Yes?
Remember the delaying gratification. You've mentioned that. We haven't mentioned that in a long time.
Right. Yeah, they basically they did a study once, which I thought was interesting, which is they just took a couple of kids and they said, look, we'll give you like three peanut M&Ms now and you can just eat them now, or we'll give you a whole pack later, but we're not going to tell you when. And the kids that basically said, give me the three now and just gobbled them down and wouldn't wait, turned out to be the losers. And the one that said, well, we'll wait because there's a payday. That's 20 M&Ms. We're going to wait on that. Those kids ended up being the winners, and that's what it's about.
Yeah.
It's the delayed gratification. Everyone I grew up with was like, what? Go to college? You pay? No way. I'm going to work. I'm getting paid. And they get $9 an hour for the rest of their life. That is the one component that all the losers I hung out with had, which is they couldn't, you know, you would say to them, look, you go for 6 months, you learn a trade, and then it's like, 6 months? No. I got to get paid. I'm getting paid when I go there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would, in lieu of spending 6 months or 4 years or 2 years or getting some program and learning something, like you could tell them, look, do 6 months, you'll get $30 an hour, or you can get $11 an hour for the rest of your life. They're like, give me the paycheck.
People are obsessed with time. That's the biggest thing, the biggest problem with our country. Everyone's obsessed with time.
And it's not even time, because if you really were obsessed with time, people are sort of penny wise and pound foolish.
Right.
Stupid people take the cash immediately.
Well, there's actually brain mechanisms responsible for being able to suppress certain impulses and delay for more mature ones. More abstract ones, like a payoff in the future, something that they can't even conceptualize.
A chocolate factory at the end of the movie.
And that's all, by the way, all success is whether it's college or interning at the station or at the job or whatever, apprenticeship.
Putting your time.
It's all putting it in and then getting the payday.
Mm-hmm.
Like Drew over here is a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, except for you don't make money.
Problem.
All right, let's go to the phones. And what about Alana's friend?
What's going on?
Skylar is on the phone.
Hi, Skylar. What's up?
How you doing?
Well, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good. I have a question for you. I date a girl that's Puerto Rican, and she shouts out things during sex in between moans, and it's definitely her language, her tongue. And I never really had the guts to ask her what some of these things mean, so I wrote some of them down. I want to know if you could decipher some of them. You speak Spanish, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Is Skylar somebody you know?
Skylar is actually a friend of a friend that I know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This already sounds bogus to me.
All right. Well, you know.
All right.
All right. Now, don't say any swear words on the air.
I don't think there's any. I don't know. Adios.
Go ahead.
I, Dios mijo?
Yeah.
That means, oh, my God, baby, faster, faster, more, more.
No,
it has to be faster?
Yeah. Something like that.
Mijo just is like.
Adios mijo is like, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in Alana's word, it would mean faster every day.
But yeah. isn't like mijo my son or something like that?
Mija.
It's mio. Oh my God. Adios mio.
It's not like when the moms call their boys mijo.
Oh no, gosh, no. I hope this woman doesn't have a son and isn't like having sex with you thinking about her son.
All right.
Is that what mijo means, son?
Mijo is my little son.
Okay.
Yeah.
Adios.
Yeah. Okay. So it's the different mijo?
Yeah, mio
okay.
is my
life.
Yeah,
okay,
mijo and mio.
Yes,
I see,
exactly.
Like mio, like me. Okay, what else we got, Skylar?
No tan pronto.
No what?
No tan pronto.
Don't choke me.
No tan pronto.
No tan pronto.
No tan pronto. Oh yeah, don't choke. Don't yeah. Please don't asphyxiate me
don't
while we're
me.
Having
yeah.
sex. Yeah, yeah. Don't
choke.
Yeah.
Me.
Seems like
well,
a reasonable
okay.
request.
Skylar,
don't suffocate me.
Yeah.
Ay, kai grande.
I oh
That's
oh
big.
How big?
Who are you dating, Kit Natividad?
An incorrect Oyo.
Incorrect Oyo?
Yeah.
Incorrect Ojo?
Like wrong eye?
Wrong eye?
No, it's like wrong
hole. How do you say hole? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
That's what
incorrect
it is.
Hole?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's just screwing around. Yeah,
sir, who are you dating?
She's just a spinner.
All right. All right, Skyler. God bless you for calling in. Yeah. That was a little comedy bit I think he was doing. That's fine. That's good.
It's good times.
I know the girl he dates. She's crazy.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Puerto Rican, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Spinner also?
No, she's a spinner. She goes to the pleasure chest a lot. She's weird.
Anderson wants to know what a spinner is. That's a small gal who can, on the wiener. Yeah, that's right. I said it.
Oh, man.
Bill?
Yeah.
Show's filthy.
How's it
tonight?
It's gross.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Awesome.
Bill?
Yeah. I find myself turned on by cartoon nudity. Not just cartoons, but video games, too. And I was wondering if that's in any way weird.
It's nerdy.
Cartoon bodies are way better animated than any real body.
Yeah. It's nerdy, but it works.
No, Hello Kitty. Oh, that's some good.
Yeah. She's hot.
A piece of ass.
Along the lines of Jessica Rabbit.
All right. Yeah. All right, Bill. God bless you for your non-question.
Hey.
I've always wanted to do Charlie Brown.
See you in Bogusville.
What is with our calls tonight?
I don't know.
We only have non-questions.
Charlie Brown is sexy.
I know. Charlie Brown is hot. I was talking to someone today about it was Peppermint Patty, like the first lesbian on television.
Hiya, Chuck. Yeah.
Was she like an intentional lesbian? And we were sort of trying to figure it out. Like, when Charles Schulz or whoever created Peppermint Patty actually sat down to create Peppermint Patty, was he thinking lesbian?
No, he was thinking tomboy kind of thing.
Yeah, but
he was thinking like Jodie Foster. All of a sudden it kind of evolved into.
I think he was thinking lesbian because it's voiced by a male.
Is it really?
Yeah, and when you're seeing dudes for the voice of your lady, that's a lesbian.
No, but the point is, though, I don't think he sat down to do it. I think he became that.
All right, but
when
the point
made it
is,
for television.
When the time came to start interviewing voices for Peppermint
Patty,
cast
it?
Whoever cast it, yeah.
Yeah, whoever cast it set it up.
Sure, he had a part in it. It's a dude playing Peppermint Patty. That's got to be rough for the 65-year-old guy who's now the voice of, he was 30 in 1969 when he was doing Peppermint. He's like, yeah, I'm Peppermint Patty.
Yeah. And she always had that girlfriend, Marcy, too, who was that, like, four-eyed kind of, granola-eating, very intellectual, kind of silent type.
Yeah, she wore like, sandals and shorts.
Sandals.
Chuck. But she did dig Charlie Brown.
She did like him.
Yeah.
I think she wanted to be him.
Yeah, maybe that was
big
it.
Big time. She wanted a big penis like Charlie Brown.
She wanted to steal his genitalia. Blockhead.
Hiya, Chuck.
I just like that.
Hand it over. Hand over the goods, Charlie Brown.
Yeah, give me your junk, Chuck.
Give me your junk, Chuck.
All right, let's keep on keeping on and talk to Kendra, who's 20. Kendra?
Hi.
What's happening?
My sister has she's displayed some addictive behavior in the past. My parents actually sent her to a youth home about 9 months ago.
Okay, Kendra, that's not displaying addictive behavior. That's having full-blown addiction needing treatment.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Right. What is she addicted to?
She is addicted to drugs, and she has some problems with alcohol. I don't know if she was addicted
to drugs, Adam. You got that? Write it down there.
She wasn't a chocoholic?
She is a pill popper. She used to pop, like, cold pills, like Sudafed.
All right, so she's a full-blown addict at a young age. So what is the question?
I was just wondering if I am at risk to become addicted to something, because I remember you talking about the addiction-ism gene.
It's about 50% per child that you can get that potential. So your sister had it, you didn't get it probably.
Yeah, but why? Because she would have shown itself by now?
Well, first of all, I can kind of tell when I'm talking to an addict. That's not Kendra.
All right, but if you have, let me just make sure this is right. If your parents, either one of them's an alcoholic or both of them are an alcoholic, it's still 50-50 per kid,
It's about
50-50
per kid. The only exception I've seen to that is Cherokee Indian. If you have as much as a quarter Cherokee Indian, it's 100%.
Oh.
Yeah.
How can you say
neither
that?
Neither of my parents...
How can you say that? Alcoholics are addicted to drugs. Yeah, hey,
like
yeah, yeah, okay. One, hey,
yes, sir.
Hey,
yes,
xenophobe.
Yes,
hey, yeah,
hence gambling.
Hey, pale
oh
face,
gosh.
Fork tongue. Hey, hey, meet the fork tongueers.
But Kendra, what your parents? Somebody must have the gene. What's the ethnicity of your parents?
Both my parents are white. My dad does have some. I do believe it is Cherokee on his side of the family.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. So
true. Mm-hmm.
True.
You're magical.
He really is.
Surprising.
Hey, so anyway, Kendra.
So you may have to be careful, Kendra. Just be cautious.
And so the thing is, too, is American Indian aside, one parent or both parents doesn't make a difference.
No, it does, interestingly.
So you figure, well, if both parents are alcoholic, it goes up 75% somewhere, but it doesn't. The other thing is if you have three kids and two of them are full-blown addicts, it still really doesn't matter. You're still 50-50.
Right.
Is that how it works?
That's right.
All right.
I have a question for you. What happens with, if you have an addictive personality, are you trying to, like, basically self-medicate yourself because you have some other kind of chemical imbalance?
It's not an addictive personality. It's an addictive potential. It's a certain kind of brain chemistry.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And we actually can create it in animals, and we know exactly what it is. And it has some unique properties to it in terms of how you respond to opiates and thrill-seeking behaviors and how your amygdala functions, these sorts of things. But fundamentally, there's nothing intrinsically emotionally wrong, although a lot of kids that have the addicted gene are raised in addicted families, and that's where the trauma sets in.
Mm-hmm. All right. You know what I was thinking about, Drew? Mm. Maybe on our next call, Chief Thunderbear could come in here.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine Alana with Chief Thunderbear?
Well, it wouldn't be Alana. It'd be Isabel. Or
Isabel and Chief Thunderbear.
Yeah.
Where is the Chief Thunderbear?
I think just Alana Chief Thunderbear would be.
Well, you got to translate, though, Drew.
I'll translate.
Translate.
It's North American Choctaw. Oh, you do it right now?
It's running.
You got people with problems, man.
We'll bring him then at the after. Because he may stay for a while.
He's out playing Tetris.
He still
plays.
Every time
nonstop.
GD come in, well,
you're talking about the addictive personality.
Oh, that's right. Well, this chief. We'll explain who Chief Thunderbear is to Alana, so when she knows.
Well, he's American Indian gynecologist.
Choctaw only speaking Choctaw.
He speaks
only.
A little Choctaw. He speaks a little.
Hi, how are you?
Little
Hi, how
bits
are
and
he's been studying English, and it gets annoying because these little English
bits and
breaks
pieces,
in
but
here.
But Drew
and there.
Will translate when he speaks Choctaw, which is 80% of the time.
Oh, that is hot.
Yeah, and then we'll have. Now, is it Isabel or Isabella?
See, you have to lubricate the dog lips for me if you're going to. Yeah, it's Isabel.
Isabel, which is Alana's character from the new movie, Meet the Fockers, coming out in a couple of weeks. So, all that after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Alana Ubeck is here tonight. Alana's in Meet the Fockers, which is coming out on the 22nd of December. And she just told us off the air, funnier than the first one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Wow. Alana plays the accented, hefty, 50-something-year-old maid, Isabel.
Yes.
In the movie. I thought it'd be nice to pair her character up with Chief Thunderbear, who's down the hall playing Tetris.
I'm ready. He's American Indian. I'm getting into my Choctaw. Drew, you will translate.
I'm going to get him.
Okay, Chief Thunderbear is who now?
I'm going to go get him.
Okay,
no,
explain.
He's
a gynecologist.
Oh,
gynecologist.
Doesn't
he's
really
American
speak
Indian.
English.
He doesn't right. speak very. Just little bits and pieces of English, mostly Choctaw. But thank God, Drew's a college man and studied
Choctaw.
Oh, right on.
College.
Oh,
yes.
Okay,
so okay. Let me go hold grab.
And
hold
so and Isabel can, you know, maybe oh, Isabel has sure, some gynecologic sure. problems. Well, who knows? You know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, she's.
Oh, here
it comes.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
Come on, get down here. He wants me to take over on his Tetris game. All right, you hold on to the Tetris game and we'll deal with him. Don't go far away. Guys, yeah, oh, here he is.
Yeah,
hi, Chief.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, Chief.
Yes, she's a hot girl. Yes, and then her name is Isabel.
Hot piece of ass.
Wait, let me tell you something. Doctor, I have a problem.
Oh, and she's speaking directly to you, Chief.
Yeah, hey.
My chocha is so angry. It is. It is pissed off. See, it's furious and it needs to talk.
Dump stream water on chocha. Cool off.
Absolutamente. See. I have a question for you. How come they have those mean, cold duck lips that they shove inside you all of a sudden? What's that?
Chief.
You have to warm up the duck lips.
Yeah, hey, one hickey chicky.
Settle down, Isabel. Settle down. Relax.
Isabel.
I won't tell you the words I use to describe you, but he's getting language.
Yes,
and, I'm going to have to translate from Isabel to the chief also. I know, she's a little high-strung.
Show squaw back of hand.
Okay. Yeah. And she's talking about the speculum you use to do your gynecologic exams. Do they actually use a speculum?
I use dream catcher speculum.
Yeah, so in his
it's a dream catcher.
It's a dream catcher he uses when he does his exam, and it feels just like a feather.
It feels like a feather.
Yes.
Tampon catcher.
Yes. Tampon catcher?
Yeah,
relax, Chief.
Yeah,
Israel, every once in a while. Israel, Israel. No, he's saying a prayer. Yes, he's saying a prayer for your film that should have great success. And he would like to be the set gynecologist if there is somebody that serves on the set there. And he would use his feather duster, so to speak, to help you should you need a speculum exam.
Absolutely.
Oh, you've got the job, Chief. Fantastic.
Barbara Streisand, great pubes.
This is Jim. What's happening? Dr. Chief Thunderbear, Loveline. What's up, Jim?
I have a question tonight. I was wondering, I like having anal sex, and my girlfriend's kind of hesitant to let me try it. And
Hang on.
Sorry?
Slow down. The chief doesn't speak English that fluently. He's got to sort of digest what you're saying. He likes anal sex, girlfriend, and no like.
Whoa, when the heck, chick, wah, he, who pop. Who packs fudge?
Okay, Jim, who have you done this with before?
I'm sorry?
Who have you done this with?
I've done it with a past girlfriend.
A past girlfriend.
Your business end of tomahawk.
Yes, he's good. He's impressed that you've been able to pull that off by 18. But don't expect, as Chief points out, all the women to cooperate with that, because there are many that do not like it. Even though the Chief is very impressed.
I'm trying to call. I'm asking Dr. Drew if there's any health risk or anything that I can...
Slow down. Jim, hold on a second. Chief is very upset. Jim, relax. Chief, relax. Jim, he is very insulted. You know, he is a gynecologist. Not only is a gynecologist, but he's a spiritual... He's a shaman. He can provide you spiritual guidance. Let me make sure I get this translation right, Chief. Spiritual cornhole guidance? Is that what you said?
We call it maze.
Maze, okay. All right. Jim, yes, it's not the healthiest thing you can be doing, the chief says.
That is she small? She little?
Oh, Isabel's back. She's into this conversation.
Is she small? Is she little?
She's a petite girl, yeah.
A petite girl. Oh, you better watch out.
Isabel.
You get that penis and you keep it in your pants.
Okay, so Isabel, this would not be something you'd be
eating. Absolutely. No, you can break her
like a church
mouse.
You can hurt, you can rip.
Like cord of wood.
Wood splitting. You can also cause all kinds of anal pathology. It's not a good thing. Hemorrhoids and tears and fissures. It's not a healthy thing, Jim. And some women like it. It's fine. Yes. But some call it maize.
The cornhole is meant for the buffalo, not the rabbit.
I don't like the little fishies.
Isabel does not like it. Does Alana like it?
Do I like anal sex?
Yeah.
Hold the phone.
I'm an artistic type, you know. Yeah. I'm totally game. But honestly, I really love oral sex. I do like oral sex.
Slow down, Chief.
But not anal.
Chief. He says it's a bit of a task for a chief. He's referring to abalone. Is that what you said?
Hey, berry face.
I heard you talk about that.
No, we go back door, use deer fat for lubricant.
Yeah, hey. Oh, Chief, you're in rare form tonight.
Oh, I must say.
What are you going to do? I know. You're just doing your job. I understand.
Hey, Tetris.
Isabel, Lonnie, had enough for the Chief?
I have one more question. I have a hair problem, and I just like to know as far as how does a man really like a woman to be shaven down there? Does he like shaved?
Slow down. The Chief only speaks English a little bit.
Shave, chocha.
Arrowhead.
He likes it in the shape of her. So and he will he has a dream catcher, feels like a feather. We explained that to Isabel earlier.
Speculum dream catcher.
Feather duster, he calls it. His feather duster.
Tetris.
Please, one last prayer for the broom here. Thank you. Oh, Isabel, this one's for you. Nice. Oh, it's the movie. Big success. Oh, yes. That's for Lana.
Come on, Lady Pick.
He wants to be sure you don't get hurt with your shaving habits. But there was a nice prayer for the film and its success. And as again, he mentioned Barbara Streisand this time. Chief, thank you very much. Well done.
And a pew pro.
Thank you, Chief. Treacherous. Yes, thank you, Chief. Thank you, Chief. Well done. Good night. Thank you, you too.
Big guy. He's huge.
Did you like that bear skin he wears on his head?
What is
big head?
Up with that?
There he goes. She's chanting and going down the hall saying more prayers for your film. He's going to go see that film. I know.
He better.
He'll be the guy in the giant bear head.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He'll be feeding the head popcorn.
Hey, Chief, rare form tonight.
Really?
Rare form. How'd the Tetris go?
Oh, it's good.
Excellent.
Awesome. Yeah. Did you win anything?
I think he liked Alana. I think Elizabeth, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
He's sort of crossing boundaries, as they say. You know,
I think he's a passionate man. I mean, any man who gets to that position in life is obviously a man who's
very
has some testosterone pumping through him. You know,
absolutely.
Sometimes you're sociopathy. Just sociopaths. Just get going for what you can get.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But didn't you have some theory about power producing testosterone?
Oh, yeah.
It'll become a tribal chief.
Yes. But sometimes it goes in all kinds of directions, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, he's playing Tetris now.
Yeah, that's good.
Let's...
Hold on.
Who are we talking to? Yeah. Okay, we'll talk to Sarah.
Hi.
Sarah.
You're 15?
What's
happening?
Well, I lost my virginity at 13, and ever since... Hang on, slow down.
How old was the guy that did that with you?
17.
Yeah, that is not losing your virginity. That's being sexually abused. So you were abused at 13.
Yeah, 17 and 13 is huge.
That's huge. It's ridiculous.
And ever since then, I've probably only not had sex altogether about a month.
You've gone on a rampage since that rape. So here's the deal.
Wait a minute. Did it seem like rape to you, or was it?
No, like it was rape. You know, obviously by law, but to me it didn't seem like it.
No, here's the deal. You were sexually abused sometimes before this. That's why you thought that was an okay thing to do.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
Yeah. Well, when I was about 9, my brother's friend, he was like 13 or 14. I can remember him like touching me down there, but I was also touching him down there too.
Look, again, Sarah, just because a child responds with curiosity doesn't mean the child is having directed sexual behavior. Kids distort it into, I was just as into it, or I was responsible. No, you're a child.
Yeah, but also there may have been something else brewing, too.
Boy, there's a lot of chaos in the home.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, you know, wholesale sexual abuse.
But when they go that direction, there's often a lot of chaos in the home.
Wow. Yeah, where's your dad?
I actually only live with him now. My stepmom and him are getting divorced.
Where is your mom?
Ooh, yeah, worse.
She lives in California. She hasn't been in my life since I was 3.
You don't think that's a little weird?
I know it's a little weird, but I think my parents, like, have tried to control me a lot, so I think that why I have sex a lot is, like, a control factor for me.
No. Why did your mom leave when you were 3?
She just left. She decided that she wasn't a good mom and she was just going to leave.
Yeah. Okay, well, that means she is profoundly disturbed. So what is her problem?
When I was, like, 2 or 3, I remember walking in or something and my dad, like, hitting her or, like, abusing her somehow.
There you go.
All right, now we got sort of the picture of a mom who's being physically abused, who abandons you, who is incapable of being a mother. This is really heavy stuff.
And by the way, you try to explain to most right-thinking women that they're going to never see their 3-year-old ever again.
They'll kill you.
Yeah.
It'll kill you.
No, my mom wouldn't have done that.
But your mom would still freak out. And
she'll actually have me freak out.
Throw a walnut at.
But throw a raisin. Then I'm going to go hand out raisins so I can take a beating out on the porch from the neighbor kids. But, this is a woman who's either a drug addict or profoundly or disturbed or both.
She's definitely a drug addict because.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, all right, Sarah, come on.
This is the source of all your problems, and now you're just.
And you're probably an addict too, Sarah. The sort of addict behavior you're starting to manifest now.
It's not like I haven't been without seeing my mom. I've seen her like every year.
No.
About
Sarah, are you doing drugs also now?
Well, I'm drinking a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Right. 15, drinking a lot, having sex a lot. So you've. The cycle repeats itself. You're turning into your mom.
Yeah, you'll be pregnant in a year and a half, and then you'll abandon your kid. And it'll be the Hakuna Matata, they call it. So,
is there a way that I can, like, get help?
Yes, Hakuna Matata. There is treat for that.
By the way, there's a lawsuit he's got going with Disney over that.
Oh, that was his saying?
Talk about. He used to say it all the time. It was,
I thought it meant no worries.
Yeah, well, it was his. He claimed it was hang loose. And he claimed,
in the cycle of life.
He got drunk. He went down to Anaheim. Next thing you know, it's in a movie. And he's PO'd. But he says that's about all he can say about it.
He hangs out at Downtown Disney a lot.
He does. He's three drinks.
Wow.
So they actually think he's part of Tom Sawyer's island.
That's what I was thinking. I saw him there.
And he's always confused because he's wearing buckskins and a headdress. And they're like, what, are you on break? And he's like, what? Yeah, hey.
Yeah, this guy's really his character.
He's got his handicap horse placard on there. He's got his pinto horse parked out there. All right, hey, Sarah, so here's the thing. I have a crystal ball. I've seen it. It looks like hell. Your future looks like hell. Can you slow it down? Can you reel it in?
No. This is treatment.
You're going to spin out. You need help.
You need help.
You got to get yourself some help.
You need somebody. Your parents trying to control your behavior as I'm trying to help you. You need to be able to contain these impulses. They are destructive.
Yeah.
I don't know how to, though.
I understand that. That's fine. And that's what treatment would help you with.
Let me really.
Where can she get treatment?
The Ventura. There's a lot of treatment centers down in here. You know, getting adolescent treatment is difficult.
Well, maybe she should start with a Al-Anon, Alateen, or something like that.
She's a full-blown addict herself.
Yeah, but she's not going to. She's not. She doesn't know where to start.
You can certainly start with an Alateen locally. There's, Ventura has various healthcare facilities. You can get a referral to something in your area. Mm-hmm. Start with AA. Mm-hmm. I don't know the name of any adolescent mental health services in the area, but there has to be. Every community's got some.
Well, start with the Alateen and let them direct you. All right, here's the thing that's interesting, which is the parents. It's interesting to me that a woman, because she's 15 and she's probably attractive. You don't have to be attractive. You have to have a vagina.
That's it.
And then there's always a slew of guys around 17, 18-year-old loser guys that are willing to pay attention to you, have sex with you, buy a few things, whatever. So it's an easy out and an easy distraction. It's sort of what drugs become to guys oftentimes, which is it makes me feel better temporarily. Now, as a woman who grows up in an abusive environment with abandoning mom and stuff, how are you going to tell her at 14 when she, next thing you know, she's 13, all of a sudden she's got
celebrity.
A C-cup going, and there's guys honking at her when she crosses the street. How are you going to tell her? Ignore that. Yeah. Ignore that. Mm-hmm. You know all the attention you never got at home? Yeah, these guys want to pay to you? Ignore it.
Yeah,
ignore
it doesn't mean anything.
Keep studying. Keep studying. Mm-hmm. I don't think you could do that. And now I'm wondering, with guys, you see, guys, you don't have that outlet. Now, here's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Guys oftentimes come from that environment.
Start fighting.
They just start fighting.
Yes.
They become aggressive. Right. But sometimes they end up being football stars and athletes kind of stuff. I'm wondering, and then the women just get venereal disease and get pregnant and get screwed up.
So we need something for the women that has a similar kind of outlet.
From a societal standpoint, the women
get it worse.
The guys oftentimes end up being captain of industry types.
Yeah, yeah.
They become maniacal. They push. Yeah. They're these A-type personalities.
Yeah, but the women become Marilyn Monroe. There is an outlet for them.
Once in a while.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of them are just pregnant at 16 and they have to drop out of high school.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, even though guys end up being drug addicts and being a-holes too, once in a while, and more often than the women's side, I think, it ends up fueling them and they end up getting this desire, whatever. They become horrible people, but they successful people. I'm wondering, you know what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah, I hear you.
And if they had that sexual outlet, let's put it this way. Imagine if the world was gay, Oh, close your eyes and picture that Astopia for a second. The world is gay. So there's a young 14, 15-year-old male who got abused, who got whatever, and now everyone's looking at him sexually.
Yeah. Everyone likes
like
that.
Everyone wants something. Hey, what do you want? But everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a small percentage of closeted, whatever. Right. The entire world. Could you resist that at 15? Hmm. No. And if someone's telling you, hey, Drew, we're going to need you to study, and then you got to go to soccer practice, you're like, are you kidding? I'm pulling a train over here. This is awesome. This is great. I mean, if you reversed it and just said women were like men, me at 14 or 15, all these hot 17-year-old chicks give me attention, want to hang out, that's it. That's Forget about sports.
Yeah.
We're screwing.
Yes.
How do you convey that to a young lady who comes from Sarah's environment?
Mm. Hmm? Or what else? More importantly, what other options can we give them? That's the bigger question.
Right. All right.
Ovaltine.
We got to give them a little Ovaltine. And
Isabel's answer.
We got to take ourselves.
Send it to Ovaltine.
We got to take a little break. We will be right back. What's the name of the new movie you're in?
Meet the
That's right. Yeah. After this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Alana Ubach is here tonight. She is in Meet the Fockers.
Ooh, she just took a look at you, Adam.
Yeah. Drew showed her. Showed her pictures of the kids.
Oh, beautiful babies.
Cute kids.
Your wife looks like my mother when she was very young. My mother in pictures of when she was pregnant of me. That's amazing. Yeah,
that is interesting.
Yeah. She was showing.
So
I
my mom.
You know, it's funny. I love how this, I went over to, me and my wife went over to Drew's house. Look, the kids look beautiful.
Last night.
Went to Drew's house last night, went out to a little dinner. I was walking up the pathway, and I was thinking to myself, all right, let's see, don't screw the kids' names up. I got the triplets. They're already going to need enough therapy without the partner screwing the names up. So I was heading upstairs. I was like, all right, I know Jordan, Douglas, and Paulina, all right? Paulina's a chick. That's easy. Jordan and Douglas, they got some similarities, but they're easy because Jordan looks like a Jordan and Douglas looks like a Douglas.
Where does that?
And they really do, though. It's easy to. And by the way, I get angry at people that don't look like their name because you can never remember it. The people's names you never remember. The people don't look. Drew had the good sense to name the Douglas Douglas, and he looks like a
Mind
Douglas.
Mind you, we've not really met the kids when we got the names.
No, well, I don't know. I don't know how that works. I don't know how it works. Yeah. I don't know if they're signed. I don't know any of that stuff. But the point is the Jordan looks like a Jordan, and the Douglas looks like a Douglas. Although if you don't see them for 8 months, they grow 4 inches and put on 10 pounds. And one of them has a goatee. He's 11 now. The other one's got what I would call an aggressive piercing.
This one is a Prince Albert impressive turn.
The point is I was walking up the stairs. I was walking up the pathway last night before I knocked on the door, and I thought, all right, let's not screw the kids' names up. And the door swung open. And there was Drew's wife, and there was a child on the top of the stairs, and he was blonde, and he was sort of skinny, and he was probably about 11 years old. And I looked at him, and I just thought, well, it ain't Jordan. Hey, Douglas, how you doing? And it's like, nope, that was a friend of theirs just standing.
Four boys lined up.
I don't know why he had to stand in my sight line that way. I don't know what the kid would. What kind of thing is that? The kid should be in the room playing.
They're screwing with you.
I did like the math, which is he was the closest looking. I didn't factor it in.
They were like, they're like coming out of the woodwork.
Then there were two other sort of toe-headed kids that sort of could have mixed and matched. But the point is I didn't factor in the decoy kit.
Right.
I thought I had my choice between your kids, and there were 100% more blonde boys there for me to choose from.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
We wanted to build
humiliating.
For you.
Humiliating.
They were fine.
All right. They're good.
The kids don't speak to you.
Melissa?
Problems.
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
All right. Every time me and my boyfriend have intercourse, like after, let's say, within a minute, it starts hurting right there.
Yeah. What happens after a minute?
Like, beneath my ribs and above my pelvic bone, it hurts right in the section.
Now, beneath your ribs and above your pelvic bone are different places, huh?
Yeah.
Are they both in the back or in the front?
It's in the front.
In the front, beneath, so by the pubic bone.
Yeah.
The,
well, above and
you're saying
where
it hurts
your navel
when you have sex,
is. Pelvic bone
that,
or the
that's
pubic?
What happens?
Yeah, she's having sex, but she's having sex
it's
up here
the
and down.
Like,
well, right. Where's your pubic bone and where's your pelvis bone? Your pelvis is
the
back,
up
your
here,
hips, and the pubis up front.
Yeah. Well, listen, Melissa, that all area is just sort of visceral pain, and it means you're having some, he's hitting against the uterus, and that can be just enough to cause that kind of pain, but sometimes there can be tube infections or infections in the uterus or ovarian cysts or endometriosis, and all these things can cause pain, too, if there's pressure.
What's going on? How old is this guy? I don't trust
he's
him.
He's my age.
16.
16, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys using a condom?
Yeah. And, like, when we use a condom, I don't know if that's causing it.
You ever had any infections?
No, he's a virgin. Well, he was a virgin.
Yeah.
All right, so you're sexually active. It's time to get pelvic exams, okay?
Yeah.
You got to have that to make sure there's nothing going on down there, but it probably is just sort of normal pressure from
No. Yeah, when I was your age, I would go to Planned Parenthood and get checked out, and you know, it was just basically, it was a sex thing.
You're small, though.
I have a very short torso, so, and you know, my boyfriend is kind of well endowed. It hurts every once in a while, I hear.
Nice, that's what you want.
Short torso?
Well, what you don't want is the opposite. She's kind of a big gal,
wiener.
And I'm pretty small down there.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, that's bad times. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's really...
No, I don't.
Half of a feeling, like, let's say, half of having a big bicep is the size of your bicep, and the other half is how tight the shirt is.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
absolutely.
You could take Lou Ferrigno and put him in a baggy enough shirt, and it just wouldn't look like there was as much there. So you put on the tight shirt, and he flexes, and you hear the cracking of the threads, you know? So you know, your small shirt is a good place, tight shirt's a good place to start.
So you're saying a lot is a tight shirt?
She's a tight shirt, yeah.
I can't believe how dirty the show can be. I love it.
You know, I was thinking about it. I was talking to some guys today, and I was thinking about, I don't know, we're talking about the performer, the Vegas performer, Danny Gans.
Yeah.
And I thought every time I see a picture of him on a billboard when I'm coming from the airport, he's wearing a super tight black short sleeve velvet shirt. And I thought, and I put this out to the room. I said, is there anybody you like who wears tight shirts? Is there a guy you know who wears super tight shirts, but he's still a really cool guy and you hang out a lot? He's your buddy. He's
Danny
your bro.
Zuko.
But he wears super tight shirts, and I thought, I don't know any guy who wears tight shirts.
I remember when the Lacoste shirts were a big deal. People wore tighter shirts then.
Yeah.
That was 15 years ago. Not anymore. Huh?
Not now. Do you know a guy with wears a tight shirt? How about a velvet black V-neck tight shirt?
No.
All right, short sleeve. All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Alana Ubach is here from what movie, Alana?
Meet the
We'll be right back after this. That's the show. I want to thank Alana Ubach.
Thank you, man. Thanks a lot. See me at the Fockers.
I will.
I'll see you there.
Yeah, I'm going to see you there. Mazel Tov is half of Drew's side says. And all the success of the new movie is going to be the biggest movie of the year. And
absolutely.
You got it sounds like a scene-stealing role.
Oh, it's fun. It's Isabelle. I look nothing like the character. She's 40. She's a hot Latina maid. It's fun.
I will be anticipating seeing this movie.
Happy birthday, Michael.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov.
So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.